This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Back of the Nest preview show. Sponsored by Pitch Sport. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest preview podcast with me, your host, Terence Ford. Tonight, I'm joined by Sam Hesketh and Albert Curley as we look back to the penalty defeat to Bournemouth at the Vitality Stadium and ahead to our trip to Old Trafford where we look to repeat last season's heroics in the league.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yes, welcome everyone to the Back of the Nest preview podcast. Albert, you're in the squad. Are you excited?
I'd like to explain what was going on there.
Well, last week, apparently my intro is way too hype and full of energy and I woke the baby up and the missus was not happy. So she said something about pissing in my breakfast if I carried on doing it. So I've had to tone it down a bit.
It was like a late night LBC intense chat show sort of tone you brought there.
Yeah, well, it matches my new moustache, which Hesketh, you're a big fan of.
It's
apparently
great. Like, you sent us a picture for anyone listening who hasn't seen it. I don't know why they wouldn't have seen it. You haven't put it on the internet, have you?
Only on my private Instagram. Maybe I'll share it on the Back of the Nest one after this.
Basically, Terry's shaved off his beard and now has a big handlebar moustache. And I saw it and my reaction was shouting yes loudly because it looked great. And I said that in the chat and I instantly was like, well, it looks really sarcastic and insincere. If I'm like, oh my God, that is fucking wicked, man. You can be like, well, it doesn't. Yeah. It actually does.
Yeah, so it started off as a full handlebar, like all the way down. But Linda, my wife, has made me scale it back. So now it's actually just up past my lips. It's just a regular moustache now.
I struggle to grow a moustache. I'm pretty good everywhere else on the face. We won't talk about the head. But I do struggle to grow a moustache like that. But then I saw your picture and I was like, I think I'm all right. You seen Dodgeball?
Yeah.
It's very Ben Stiller in Dodgeball.
Great, that's exactly what I was aiming for.
No pun intended.
Nothing gets by you, does it, Albert? Nothing gets by you.
Right,
this week we're going to start with I don't know why I'm laughing. Neil Warnock's come down with COVID-19, which Albert, the question has finally been answered, hasn't it?
I can't believe you're I felt bad for posting that. I basically suggested, you know, he's always talking about this is his last job in football and maybe that's come home to roost. And now I've said it out loud.
It's a bit awful, isn't it?
It is awful. Is he got it? Because, you know, there's people who get it and then there's people who, like, get it and it's bad. Do we know what condition Neil Warnock's in?
No. Like, obviously, we don't want it to be a bad condition.
Well, of course,
and hopefully
I love
just got
Neil
the
Warnock.
Yeah. And
You wouldn't want your last job to be Middlesbrough either, would you? You want it to be somewhere slightly more glamorous.
I was going to say the news raised some eyebrows, but he doesn't have any. So,
yeah, just lots of pictures of that meme going round of him holding his head after they lost to Cardiff, lost to Chelsea a couple of seasons back. But yeah, of course, we hope that Neil Warnock gets better soon, and basically just brought it up so Albert could talk about last job in football, you terrible, terrible man. News has also come out today that Nathaniel Clyne is training with Crystal Palace in the hopes that he can earn a contract with the club. Hesketh, nostalgia aside, is this a good move or
no,
what do you think?
I don't think it's a good move. I think I'm the only person who doesn't think it's a good move going by the WhatsApp group, the Twitter, BBS, all that. I just think, you know, if I was to say we're going to sign a player who's played 20 games in the last 3 years, and the last time we saw him, his team let in 5 goals against Palace. Like, letting in 2 goals against Palace means you're shit. So letting in 5 goals against Palace is not great. you know, if I was to say that without then saying, oh, he used to play for Palace, you know, he come from the youth team, you'd be like, well, what are we doing? And I get, you know, it's nice, nostalgia, whatever. Like, I've got no problem with him training with us whatsoever. That's fine. But, like, I don't think we need him. I don't know if he's any good anymore. I think probably not. He's not going to be in any decent shape. You know, if we're getting him as cover until Ferguson's back, how long until Clyne is in good shape? I would suggest it's probably going to be even longer. I loved him when he was at Palace. I thought he was great, but I don't see the point in bringing him in at all.
He's only played 20 games more than me in the last 3 years.
Now, the flip side to that, he does bring a lot of experience with him, obviously knows Palace and South London well, and enough to be that famous tweet of fuck off Millwall, South London is ours forever in the history books. Doesn't delete it either. But, you know, England caps, a lot of which came under Roy Hodgson as well, played for Liverpool. Can he bring that sort of experience and help the likes of Ferguson and Mitchell are coming through, Albert?
I'm sure he could. How vital it is to their development. Again, it's one of those, if he's going to sign on a relatively modest fee, you know, for a weekly wage, then yeah, maybe it's not a bad sign. And especially with our luck at the back in terms of injuries, you know, we have a lot of options there, but about a third of those options are always unavailable. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be adverse to it if it was just for a, like I say, a modest weekly wage. Again, I'm a bit like Hesketh. I can't say the last time I saw him play was against us, and yeah, it wasn't a great performance. He's, you know, Bournemouth didn't really utilise him that much, so you sort of do think, you know, what is he going to bring to our squad apart from potentially a little bit of extra depth? And, you know, if we have injuries coming back in defence, you know, we don't necessarily need that depth, but everybody loves a, you know, a prodigal son returning, don't they? So I can see why people are excited.
Yeah. Well, one prodigal son will be returning probably for as long as it takes him to sign his name on a different contract, and that's Alexander Surlot, who appears now to be on his way to Leipzig. We're going to make money on him, which is a good thing, and it's going to free up a lot of money now in terms of, we won't dwell on Surlot. I can't be bothered to talk about it in depth. It's been done to death in the recent weeks. So
how much money are we going to make on it? Because there seems to be so many different stories about, no, we're only getting 5 million from Trabzonspor, and they're getting all the other money. Like, do we know, is there anywhere definitive that we know what we are going to get out of it? I mean, we paid what, 11 for him?
I think in total we've ended up paying around 13 million for him. Because I think what's happened is, obviously now I'm talking about it, I think what's happened is all the bonuses that were in his contract when signing from Palace, so add-ons Mitterlund, there you go. So Mitterlund, I'm like Paul Merson here. Mitterlund, I think he triggered all those goal bonuses at Trabzonspor, so we still had to pay. We had to pay out those bonuses. So in the end, we've ended up paying just over 13 mil for him. But we're still going to make money on him, and we've made loan fees out of him from loaning him to Trabzonspor and saved wages in that time as well. So we are going to come out on the positive side, and effectively this will be able to fund either buying Benrahma from Brentford or Brewster from Liverpool. Naturally, everyone's comparing which one would you prefer. So I'll ask you the question, Heskiff, who would you fancy more out of the two?
Oh, I actually saw a poll like this on Twitter earlier, and I voted Benrahma. But I guess if you look at what the squad needs long term, we need a striker that's not a loan signing, probably. And I think Brewster's really good. I mean, I've seen him when he was at Swansea and he looked pretty good. He's less lightweight than he looks from what I saw. I just saw Benrahma is just a really exciting player, isn't he? You know, we were talking about how exciting Eze is. And, you know, the idea of a team with him, Eze and Wilfyn is pretty mouthwatering. So I'll take either, to be honest, because I think we need another forward player. But I'd probably lean towards Benrahma.
Yeah, I think both of them are a risk in their own ways, right? So Benrahma's got, you know, a bit like Eze, unproven in the Premier League. And Brewster's very, very young and still got a lot to prove anywhere. So it'll be interesting either or. I think we'd probably go for Benrahma at this stage, but Brewster's definitely been on the radar for a long time, and it would be a permanent move as well going after Brewster. We'd be trying to buy him. And I think if Liverpool sign Ismaïla Sarr, which has been reported today that they've come to, that, you know, they're getting close on the fees agreed with... who does he play for again, Albert? So, you know, it could, one of those could come in, and it's good that we're able to fund that now through what we initially thought was going to be a write-off of 9 to 13 million on Sorloth based on his early performances for Palace. So at least it's ended up working out well for us. And if the money ends up aiding a transfer in Benrahma, Brewster, that ends up being really successful long-term, then... you know, maybe people have to take some words back about what they said about Dougie Freeman scouting. Right, we're going to talk about season tickets next, but I'm going to have to open my beer for this one. Just a Tappy Pills this week is what it's called, by a brewery in Cheltenham called Daya. It's a crisp hoppy lager with bready malt character and a long bit of finish. We utilise fresh Saphir and Herzbrücker hops for snappy, noble German hop character, and honour time, tradition and patience to create a beautiful, clean pils.
Long bit of finish. Sounds like my ex.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, my moustache was... it was inspired by a friend of mine who visited, who lives in Berlin now, and he has a moustache, which is, you know, not very popular in Berlin, so that's where it's come from. So there you go. Right, season tickets. Straw poll, have you renewed yours, Heskiff?
I have, yeah.
And Albert?
No.
No. No. You're deferring yours, aren't you?
Well, I'd like to, but I don't think I'm allowed.
Oh, do you not want to get that in case I use it as evidence against you?
Well, listen, I'm happy to give it a go. To be honest, I still haven't got my refund back from last season, such as my attention has been not on football and tickets, yeah, and stuff.
One of my family members is in the same boat, and a lot of people I know have had their refunds back, so something's clearly broken down in the process there.
Oh, I never asked for it. I just never selected one of the options when they sent out the what do you want to do with your leftover money from last season. So
was there not a default? Did it not default to like give you a refund, or default to the academy, or?
Oh, I've no idea.
Congratulations, Albert Curley, academy founder member.
Oh, fantastic. surely they'd have to get approval to just take my money and pump it into a project that we might not see for 20 years. All I've been seeing is how, you know, I'd like to ring up and say, you owe me whatever it is. Is it 100 quid or something that we're all owed from last season?
Yeah, 124 or something.
knock that off a deferral for next season, and then we'll talk. But I just see all the hassle of people trying to get through to the box office. And I'm a busy man, Terrence, as you know. And I just haven't got around to it. But in terms of the principle of just the renewing, I think it's ridiculous, and it's well documented that a lot of people aren't happy with it. Mm-hmm. I think it's bad form to ask people for, you know, £500-600, given what's happened in the last few months, for something that you know, I know that it's all very well saying, I will give you money back if you don't get to use it, but, you know, why take the money in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely right. And of course, the HF have come out today and talked about it, with saying the fan base is rightly angry about the season ticket situation. As supporters, our loyalty is unquestionable. And in the recent past, our direct financial support and actions have twice helped sustain the club through its darkest hours of administration. This is a time of uncertainty where many Palace supporters have lost their jobs or face other financial hardships. To ask the fan base to pay retainers to keep seats and to use third-party credit checks to turn away loyal fans both penalises and takes advantage of that loyalty. We back the good work from FPIP on this issue and call on the club to rethink their proposal immediately and refund those who have already made payments. Wolves have frozen season tickets until next year and will operate match tickets on an individual ballot system. We call on Palace to do the same. As a group, we will be taking a stand and will not be paying the retainer. We will fight for the rights of all fellow supporters who choose to do the same. In times of uncertainty and financial struggles, a community comes together to support one another. It's now time for the club to support that community and respect the loyalty the fans have shown. God, I got almost all the way through that without stuttering. last paragraph. So that's obviously come out on Thursday, the 17th of September. But now this has shortly been followed by the club have actually come out with their stance after at 5 p.m. on the 17th. They had a Zoom meeting with the Crystal Palace Supporters Trust. And the club referred to the unprecedented times and the financial commitments being made in terms of the academy, the newsstand, which is awaiting mayor's approval, and player purchases, the lack of match day and advanced season ticket income, and the effects on TV monies. The Trust referred to its open email to the club regarding the recent arrangements for sale of season tickets. In the email, the Trust urged the club to make certain changes as soon as possible. Briefly, these were to extend the deadline for renewal of tickets until the end of the month, to extend the defer to 21-22 option to everyone, to provide partial refunds for matches not attended within 14 days, and to reintroduce a direct debit option for those fans who are unable to pay up front. The club acknowledged the points made in support of these proposals, but had decided not to change the current position in any way. It indicated that the deadline has already been extended and a deferral option was now to over 65s. A further week would be given for save your seat, but no other alterations were envisaged. At the end of the period, others would be invited to apply for season tickets and movement of seats may be possible. It was confirmed that as of the time of the meeting, 12,000 season tickets had been renewed and 1,000 deferrals applied for. In respect of deferrals, the box office would contact those who had applied and ask for a note of the situation dealing with them on a case-by-case basis. This would not act in a They would not act in a draconian way, and any fan whose case was rejected would receive a refund. The only other change was a commitment to review the finance arrangements for those paying in instalments at the end of the season. Details of arrangements for reduced capacity games would follow central government and ruling bodies' advice, but specific guidance relating to Selhurst Park could not yet be provided. So as an answer there for you, Albert, in terms of you'll get a refund if you apply for a deferral, but if it was to be rejected. So Heskiff, I mean, you've read this in advance. This came from the BBS and was by SW16 Gel on there, who's a member of the Supporters Trust. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's really disappointing. I mean, like I said, I've renewed, but I'm in a very fortunate position where I'm able to afford the renewal, despite the pandemic and all that. You know, I know people have been furloughed, and obviously the last 6-7 months, whatever it is, has been really difficult for a lot of people. And I think to ask people to pay that up front where there's no guarantee you'll get to go to any game. And like Albert said, oh, you get it back at the end of the season. Yeah, but you still you have to go without it for a year. I think that's really bad. I think the club have handled it really, really badly. And the reason I renewed was like, I didn't want to lose my seat. You know, I want to go to Palace games. I want to see them. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to afford to do that. But there are loads and loads of people who can't. And I completely understand the people who also on principle don't renew. And I think with what FYP have done is really good, and they haven't just sort of kicked off. They've given like good, well thought out pieces and responses, as I'm sure the trust did in this Zoom meeting. And it just seems like the club are like, look, we're going to do it. So tough shit, get on with it, or don't renew and someone else will have it. Probably in the hope that, I guess, year on year, people drop off the season ticket list and new people jump on. But it'll be interesting to see the uptake once the deadline's passed, because they said 12,000 have renewed and I think we had 18,000 last year. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether the drop off continues because new people won't come in. But it just feels like the club just sort of being stubborn, and I know it's unprecedented times and all that, but Arsenal have done it differently. Wolves have, I think even West Ham are doing a refund within like 14 days if you don't get a ticket, and West Ham are run like shit. So it's really disappointing. And I think their stance today is just compounds it, to be honest.
Yeah. So Albert, that's obviously the first time you were hearing that. So in terms of your specific situation, how does it make you feel about having a pop?
Yeah, listen, I think it's a tough one for me because, you know, I'm a bit like Sam. If I really wanted to, I could justify the spend, but I think it's absolutely, you know, imagine getting an email from fucking Sainsbury's or whatever, you know, saying I'll give us 600 quid for some shopping that you might not get on a week by week basis. And I tell you what, if we don't actually provide you anything, we'll give you the money back, you know, next year. I mean, you'd think that was a scam. And the only reason it washes coming from a football club is that it's playing on your, you know, your loyalties, your, whatever you want to call it, your the passion for the club, you know, your allegiances, the fact that it is a small ground. And, you know, it's a bit of a gamble, but I'm happy to let my season ticket go. Even if I don't get a deferral, happy to let it go. And, you know, if I was on the flip side of this, if I was on the waiting list, I'm again, it's just me personally. I don't know how much of an uptake there would be from people who want to, I'll pay 600 quid not to go, having not been there before or not been in that position before. Like, you know, I know it's not quite as straightforward as that, but I just think it's, you know, like I say, they're preying on your loyalties and your passion. I mean, I've obviously been going for years, but I've had my season ticket for 12 seasons, and it just feels like a bit of a stretch too far. And, you know, it's not just me. I'd have to renew for my boy as well. And I just think it just leaves a bit of taste. You know, I know the club are going out of their way to try and sign players this season, actually spend some money. And, you know, it looks like the squad we're putting together is decent. But, you know, at the same time, you just can't be asking people for whatever it is, 600 quid. For a guarantee of almost nothing, and in the hope that you might get that money back at the end of the season. I think they've handled it poorly.
Yeah, well, forever the cynic that I always am, there's part of me that thinks, and I've seen a few people talk about it as well, so I know I'm not the only person thinking this way, but seeing it as a way of cleansing the fan base a little bit in terms of what will happen is as we go forward within the coming seasons, they'll have to hike the season ticket price because they can't stick with it anymore, because we'll end up losing out on the best part of two seasons worth of revenue by the time this is probably all done and we get people back into stadiums. So they're going to end up having to hike the price. And if you hike the price to the current set of fans, there's going to be a big kickoff, as we all know here, as it's going, where now they can, you know, they've got 6,000 new fans incoming. It'll be the first time that they're paying this price for the season ticket or whatever, you know. So it'll be people a lot more happy to pay that price. And then you've got a new group of fans coming in who that then you can hike the price every season. You can do an increase every season because that's what other clubs do, and it can just be perceived as a normal. And you know, you're slowly getting more affluent fans in that sense, who are prepared to pay a lot more money to watch Premier League football, where we're all obviously stuck in the, you know, in all of our brains. Anyone who's been a Palace supporter for a short amount of time and above, we're a Championship club in our brains, right? We're not a top flight club still. So I don't know, we feel like, you know, working class area could be in a Championship any season. You know, our season ticket prices should be hovering around the same price that we pay for them now. So I hope that's not the case. As I say, that's very cynical of me, but look at the transfer policy this season. We know there is some forward thinking from the club, so hopefully they're not, you've been using that forward thinking in naughty ways, but we will see how that pans out eventually, I guess. But it's gonna take a little while. Well, I will finish on a note. This beer is lovely. So let's move on from season tickets and get on to talking about Bournemouth.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Funtime videos, choose your match day squad, post match ratings, and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Now, and we got more moans about money. Albert, 10 quid to watch it.
Yeah, I didn't pay that either. I deferred.
Yeah,
I deferred. I gave him a tenner. I said, you know what? Don't give me the stream for the Bournemouth game, but maybe in a year's time there might be something that I need, and I'll come and get it then.
Yeah, and there's going to be a time when I'm at work late at night and I'm going to need 3 cans of Carabao to get me through. Is it an energy drink? I think it's an energy drink, isn't it?
I'll be honest, I've never seen it anywhere apart from mentioned in the terms of that competition or in the advertising hoardings in games in that competition.
What about you, Heskiff? Sorry, did you watch it?
Yeah. To be honest, I knew it was going to be shit.
Yeah,
because it's first round or whatever, second round.
Because you think everything's always going to be shit.
True, but here comes the positive bit. It was worth the £10 when I saw Wayne Hennessy absolutely annihilate that penalty. And like, I wasn't even joking when I texted you. Like, I was like, that legitimately has made it worthwhile. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm not saying Heskiff sees everything as bad, but when you talk about the Brighton playoff semi-final, all he says is that Johnny Williams should have hit the target. Yeah. So
he is right there.
I watched it. I wasn't going to watch it until I saw Batshuayi and Eze were both starting, so I thought it was exciting. Max Meyer in the middle as well. It was all kind of like, all right, let's see how this goes. And Heskiff, quite plainly, it was a dreadful performance.
Oh, it was rubbish. I thought there'd be goals in it because I saw our back line.
There was 21 goals. Just all at the end.
That was the ironic thing. It was like, I've just watched 90 minutes where we looked like we couldn't hit a fucking bar.
Play for another 90 minutes, they wouldn't have scored.
Yeah, and that we have a penalty and it's like 20 goals in a row. It was rubbish. I mean, you know, watching some of the players was interesting. I had high hopes for some of them and they didn't do much. I thought Kirby was really bad, actually, which was a shame. I enjoyed watching Yaroslav Yak, who apparently has signed a 1-year contract extension, which is great. just because there were points where you could tell the players did not want to pass him the ball, especially in the attacking.
Points. Jordan Ayew just ignored him constantly. He'd look over his shoulder at him and just like, it was almost like he was visibly shaking his head, just being like, nah, bruv.
Yeah, I can see there's four opposition players in front of me, but there was a couple of times where Maya had it and he was like looking busy on the ball and he looked up, saw Jack and literally just like turned his back and went the other way. Yeah, I mean, it was just boring. It was just boring. I was hoping Eze and Batshuayi would turn it on a bit, but it was only really when Andros came on that we sort of pushed the ball a bit.
Was Maya shit?
I mean, he wasn't shit, but he didn't. These are the sort of games where, because I've been backing him for 2 years solid, I'm like, right, he should like hammer this game, and he just doesn't, and it was just a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I'm kind of with you in that camp where I've really wanted Max Meyer to be a success, and it just clearly hasn't happened to the extent that, you know, I'm now down to thinking he's a one-trick pony in very specific circumstances.
What is that trick?
When we're 1-0 down at home, he can come on and look really, really good, but we still lose 1-0 anyway.
What a trick.
What a trick. But, you know, in the times where he's been given chances, which are few and far between in the middle, he's never taken them. But, you know, in this circumstance, it's a very physical fit midfield from Bournemouth. And Luka Milivojevic is always going missing in a two in the middle of the park ever since Kabaya left. When him and Kabaya were together, Kabaya did all his donkey work for him whilst also outpassing him and just looking like the world-class midfielder that he was.
Do you remember those people that didn't like Kabaya?
Yeah, well,
Can you remember that? Remember those people?
Yeah. And thankfully, I think we all called them insane at the time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd probably still get in our midfield now, to be honest. But, you know, so playing with Luka in a two is not ideal either. But, I mean, for the amount of money it's reported that we're paying Max Meyer, it's a failed experiment, I think, and we've got to be trying to move him on. I think he looks okay when he's played in the left of a 4-4-2 in pre-season, but, you know, against not great opposition. And yeah, I just with clearly signing other players now to fill those areas, Gyro's definitely moved above him in the pecking order. I just don't see how he's ever going to get in anymore. So I think it's something that will probably come to an end, if not in this transfer window, probably within the next, you know, within either the winter one or when we get back to next season. I can't see it going on.
Send him on loan to Trabzonspor and see what happens.
Gets 32 assists in one season. All setting up. Haven't they signed Bennett Kofobi to replace Sorloth? So just assisting a Kofobi all game long.
Big shoes. I mean,
that's the yardstick, isn't it? If a Kofobi goes there and bangs in 30 goals, then we know it's all a farce. Right, so then let's talk about the penalty shootout then. So we've scored 10 in a row. It gets the goalkeepers. Now, Hennessy, really good save from Begovic, but he should have probably saved a couple in the shootout. There was one particular one, Hesketh, where he seemed to slap it into the goal.
Oh, yeah, I think it was Dan Gosling scored. There was a couple where he went the right way and it seemed like harder to not save it, but they went in sort of in the corner. But that Dan Gosling one, I sort of cheered because I thought he'd saved it. He definitely got a hand to it, and then it went in. And you're like, if you're getting your hand to it, that ball should be out.
Yeah, there's a stronger hand he got to it as well. He got a big, strong hand to it, but it seemed to somehow spin off backwards. It was very bizarre.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was great. And then, I mean, the save for Begovic was decent. But I remember saying, when Begovic was stepping up, I said to Vanessa when we were watching it, I was like, goalie should just punt it because you take fucking goal kicks, so punt it and you're not getting saved. And Wayne saves it. I'm like, bloody hell. All right, good. All you got to do is punt it down the middle, Wayne. And it was like his best goal kick of the game, but it was a penalty. Like, a lot of his goal kicks were really shit in that game and didn't really even get to the halfway line, which is weird for him. But then he just reverted to type at the one time he shouldn't be reverting to type and like hoofed it over the roof.
Yeah, there was a still image of the ball, you know, some 15 yards over the crossbar, it looks like. And I saw a great tweet. I can't remember what account it was from. It was a great tweet saying, referring back to the whole, the Nazi gate was when he was saying, I know the still image may look like I'm converting a try for Wales. It's very, very, very good.
But I don't even know what rugby is.
Exactly.
But he's very keen to learn.
He's desperate to learn. He's desperate to learn who the Nazis are. So there you go. But yeah, so, and then I did someone also tweet, fair play to Hennessy. He saw the opportunity to rattle the fan base even more and he took it. Particularly Patrick O'Connor of the back of the Ness Parish. But yeah, but anyway, look, with Luka Milivojevic missed a deciding penalty, Begovic saving it, going the same way that he did for the first penalty. And we've probably dodged a bullet of getting thumped 8-0 by Man City in the next round. Is it? What's his name? Pep Guardiola hasn't even lost a League Cup match yet, has he? He's won it every season he's been there. So it's not like they don't. It's not like they're going to put out a weak team and not take it seriously. It's obviously a trophy he wants to win. So, yeah, there you go. So we now move into Manchester United. It'll be their first game of the season. Anyone know why they haven't played a game? What was the postponements for?
I was going to ask this because I saw that their game was postponed, but then they played a friendly that day and it was against Villa, who were also a Premier League team. So I don't know why they didn't just play their Premier League game.
Yeah, I'm just like scrolling through. There's Europa League fixtures tonight, so I don't know if it's got something to do with that.
But I mean,
did Man United qualify for the Champions League?
I can't remember. Normally, Tottenham play their game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They did. They've won in the Europa League tonight. Okay. Yeah. So.
So I don't know why they didn't, but
Should have probably done some research.
But I don't think it's going to make that much difference. I think they're probably going to be quite good this year.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, we say, you know, it's technically their first game of the season, but, you know, they're better than us, aren't they? So I don't think it'll cause them too many problems.
Well, yeah, I think the signing of Bruno Fernandes has really changed them. Since he's come in, they've looked like a much better unit. It's got Pogba playing as well. And, you know, the pace of Martial and Rashford, it happened at Selhurst, didn't it? They, you know, when the moments where they got it right against us in that, was it, what did we lose that game? 2-0. Yeah, it was 2-0. Yeah, when they got it right in those games, they look very, very good. So it's definitely going to be a tough afternoon, a far tougher afternoon than it was last season, all that time ago, August last year, when it was so long ago that, you know, that was the day we found out we were pregnant. So we've had a baby since then, who's now almost 6 months old. So it was an age ago, but it was only the, you know, this time last season. Crazy times. But Albert, your wife is famously a Manchester United fan.
Famously.
How's tensions in the house at the moment?
Yeah, not too bad. It's Saturday night, isn't it? It's late Saturday.
5:30 Saturday, yep.
Yeah, so that will be on in the house. You know, as you guys know, it is my birthday this weekend. So it would be nice if that wasn't ruined in terms of A, losing at the football, and B, having to have a rule of six lunch on Sunday with my Manchester United supporting wife and family. So, you know,
any way you can move the bubble to who's in there? And so you can just say, sorry, there's six.
I'm thinking of just self-isolating. If it come like 7:45 on Saturday night, if it doesn't go our way, I think I might get a temperature and a new persistent
cough. Yeah. So how does it go? Take us back to last year when we won at Old Trafford. Is there a forfeit for the team that loses, or
not a radio friendly one?
Oh dear! So this year it will be the strap on coming out, then, will it?
I don't even know what that is.
It lives.
Well, no. Listen, I say, is there normally a forfeit? No, there's not. Because why would I offer that up? Because we've never beaten them up until last year. So it kind of...
You're going to have to work harder for that, my love.
I try not to mention it. You know, I hope that she hasn't realised that it's that weekend and I can just check my phone or whatever.
It's an easy one. You just have to say, if you lose the bet, you'll shave your head.
What? But why? Because that means I'll be doing it, which is fine because I do it anyway.
Yeah, that's a joke. You haven't got any hair.
Oh, I see. I'm to be honest, I was a bit flustered because I was half expecting you not to say head at the end of that sentence.
Oh, dearie me. Right, so there's been a lot of pictures, as usual, of the final training session or this training session this week, and Benteke is in the pictures.
What's he doing there?
He's got a big smile on his face. He's still getting paid 100 grand a week, no goals.
I'd be smiling as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm still a week later, I'm still laughing at that stat that Batshuayi scored more goals for Palace in the last 3 years than Benteke has.
Oh my God.
But now, this might be a controversial thing to say, but I mean, I'm probably going to get abused for this. But Hesketh, after Batshuayi and Eze, both of them having, you know, a 5 yard first touch on on Tuesday night against Bournemouth, can you see him getting a chance of getting into the side?
Benteke. I think he'll be on the bench. I reckon Roy will probably go back to the team that played against Southampton. Possibly with the exception of Luca coming in. Because we haven't really heard about Gyro, have we? I mean, he was injured, but I heard it wasn't serious. But I assume, like, tough shit on him now because Roy's got his favourites back. I reckon he'll go back to the 11 that started against Southampton. But then, you know, he'd have good options off the bench, wouldn't he? I mean, Batshuayi, Eze and Benteke off the bench is pretty good.
Yeah, it's obviously looking a lot stronger now. And apparently, although they're not in the pictures, I've heard through the grapevine that all of the ones that are out injured longer term are all back in light training now. So your Tompkins, PVA, Ferguson, and there's one other player who's also in light training. I can't remember. Gary Cahill. No, Sacco came on against Bournemouth and took a glorious penalty against Bournemouth, curled it into the top corner. It was almost as good as Martin Kelly's, who thumped a thunderbolt into the top corner as well. So,
take my £10.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'd say the penalty shootout was worth the £10, but it was free to air on Sky Sports News when it went to penalties. So, so the best part of the game, you didn't have to pay the money for anyway. So
great.
But there you go. So, yeah, so the squad is starting to get back. And, I mean, the commentator even on the stream for the Bournemouth game was talking about, you know, how many injuries we've had for the last couple of seasons and how unfortunate it has been for us. And I think everyone is playing for us to see that. So hopefully we'll start to get some players back and he'll have an entire squad to pick from for the entire season and we can see what goes on with that. But... So looking ahead, Hesketh, if you've said you think it'll be the same lineup. Albert, if he's fit to play, do you think Gyro will keep his place that he seemed to have claimed in pre-season, or are you on similar wavelength with Hesketh and think it's tough titty?
Sorry, I haven't heard the term tough titty for quite a while, let alone seen any. Yeah, I think if...
You look in the mirror every day, mate.
Hey, steady. I think, yeah, Luca's probably the most likely to come in. You know, as much as I'd like to see Gyro get a proper run in the middle of the park, I think, you know, we all know Roy Hodgson. He doesn't do anything that crazy.
If only we had someone who could do a wonderful Roy Hodgson impression on this show. Right, so... predictions then. What do we think the score is going to be, Hesketh?
Let's be positive. 2-0 Man U.
And Albert?
I'm going to be mildly less negative and go 2-1 United.
Yeah, I think we're going to lose 3-1, which doesn't bode well for us because obviously I got the prediction. I didn't get it right, but I was the only one who predicted a win. So hopefully I haven't got any sort of form, but there you go. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a really tough game. I think Man United are probably in a position where they're going to be looking towards getting back into the top four, and maybe even looking a little bit higher than that. So, yeah, it's a tough, tough game. And hopefully we'll just catch them cold being their first game of the season and we can repeat the result from last season where we won 2-1, beating them there in the league for the first time in many, many a moon. Let's hope we don't have to wait that long again. Right, that's pretty much it. Next week it is Everton. We've got Everton coming to Selhurst Park. They had a very good start beating Spurs 1-0 at the new White Hart Lane and looked very, very good in doing so, very, very comfortable. And obviously they've, as they do most pre-seasons, they won pre-season in terms of the transfer window, but it always seems to go wrong for them. But a very, very promising start for them. Just a shame we won't get to see James Rodriguez in the flesh at Selhurst. But there you go. Hesketh, you're joining us next week.
Yep.
Albert?
Think about it.
Think about it. Well, look at that. I don't think there was a single Watford reference. So
there was.
There was one sort of slight one, but I left it. I could have gone deeper, but for your birthday, happy birthday for Sunday.
Go yourself.
All right, on that note then, we'll say goodbye, speak to you next week, and until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.